Ladies and gentlemen, this episode of the Juan Epstein Podcast is brought to you by Bevel, the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Enjoy smoother, clearer skin with Bevel. Go to getbevel.com/Juan. Getbevel.com/Juan for your 20% off your first month. Thanks, Bevel. And now, without any further ado, after several years of working on it, we bring you our Rock Him episode of the Juan Epstein Podcast. First of all, if you are new to the podcast, hearing it for the first time ever, thank you. Welcome. Shout out to Complex and shout out to all of you for coming to check us out. Go to iTunes right now. Subscribe to Juan Epstein. You just got to search for Juan Epstein. Click subscribe. It is free. We have over 200 episodes in the can, episodes with people like Jay-Z, like Eminem, like Kool G Rap, like Big Daddy Kane, like so many more. It goes on and on and on. Russell Simmons, Diamond D, Pete Rock, A Tribe Called Quest. The history of hip-hop lives on Juan Epstein. So subscribe today. Cypher, there's nothing else to say. Shout out to everyone at Masters of Ceremony who let us get backstage to do this episode. Shout out to Rakim's manager, Matt Kemp. And without any further ado, Juan Epstein and Rakim. If you was born in New York City, let me say you know that. I was born in New York City.
New York. New York. No doubt. No doubt. No doubt. New York. New York City. New York, New York. New York.
It's all set. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not going to wait. I'm not waiting. I'm standing up. I'm bowing. I'm sitting. I'm doing whatever is necessary. The God MC, how are you? The 18th letter, have a seat, please. Oh, man.
Rakim.
Let's grab a microphone, please, sir. That's what you do.
He knows how to use that. He's a fiend.
He's
like that. Did you hear that intro I gave you?
Oh, no doubt, no doubt.
Did you hear that Long Island love?
And you got the crowd ready for me, man. I appreciate that, man.
Sife, you move the crowd?
I move the crowd.
Sife moves the crowd.
Now, listen, I want to ask you a question, Rakim, but first, it's very important. Has Matt Kemp been telling you about how endlessly I've been bothering him to have a conversation with
you? Yes, sir. That's why I'm here right now, man. Because
okay,
usually, man, after a couple...
You're out.
Yeah, I'm done, man. I'm sitting on the couch and watching the show, man. But I got big respect, man, for what y'all do as well, man. And on some real, you know, I remember when things was a little crazy in New York and y'all came out with the show and it felt like, you know what I mean, hip-hop again. So I want to salute y'all for that as well, man.
Oh, well, that's...
Keep rocking.
Well, thank you. That was the greatest honor of my life, and I'm going to kill myself as soon as the night's over.
No idea where to start.
No idea where to start. I don't know where to start, Rakim.
No, just have much time. Just go in.
Rakim, you were born in Long Island? Is that a fact?
Yes.
What hospital were you born in?
I was born in Southside, man.
And were you born to a musical family?
Yes, sir.
How much so are we talking about?
It runs pretty deep. My mom, she sang everything from opera to jazz, you know, back in her day. She even sang at the Apollo, you know what I mean? She was really chasing a dream, so my pop shut that down, you know what I mean?
He was not interested in her having that kind of lifestyle.
I mean, he would have loved it, you know what I mean? But, you know, at that time, I think, you know, they was a little more interested in raising a family, you know what I mean? You know, pops kind of slowed that down, you know, but...
How many of you were there?
Five in the family. Five brothers and sisters, man.
And you are
five
which one?
Five brothers and sisters, put them in a line.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Which one were you?
I'm the youngest, man.
You're the youngest.
World up.
And were you an attention kid? Did you want attention as a little kid?
Nah, actually, you know, I was good, man. I got mad love from the family, my big brothers and sisters, man. I got all the attention. They couldn't go nowhere without me. You know what I mean? I was spoiled. But I was kind of doing my own thing, man. I played sports since I was small. I was in the band when I was small. I was in all kind of, you know, after school activities. Just trying to, you know, stay busy, man. But, you know, I definitely ran in my brothers and sisters' shadows, though.
Were any of them into music as well?
All of them, man.
Everyone was into it.
Yeah, no doubt.
What about with rap?
My oldest brother... Ronnie, big up, my brother Ronnie. he went to school, you know, he played music, played the piano since he was small. Went to school for it. Long story short, he wound up with Curtis Blow on tour. He played the synthesizer on Dollar Bill, y'all. Dollar Bill, y'all.
Okay.
That's what? Actually my brother saying that, Dollar Bill,
really?
Y'all.
Really?
What? Dollar...
Wait,
that's
what's my your brother's brother, name? Ronnie Griffin. You know what I mean?
His last name's Griffin.
Yes,
yeah, you didn't know.
But yeah, man.
What?
And you know, the influences that was passed down, man, like my older brother, Stevie Blass, he played the saxophone, so I picked up the saxophone.
I heard you play like 11 instruments. Is that true?
Close, man. You know what I mean? Like, I play the piano with one finger, and I layer it, and it sound like Stevie Wonder came through. But, you know, I got an ear for, I got an ear for music, you know what I mean? But
wait, did you play the drums on
Know
the Ledge?
I played the drums. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, we'll get there. Hold on, we're gonna get there.
Right,
I know you
got
to hit stuff. Okay, yes, so when did you start? Sir. When did you start getting serious about the music thing?
I think since I was young, man, because the influences around me, you know, my oldest brother was already out there in the mix. My brother under him, Stevie Blass, that's the one that plays keyboards, Move the Crowd, and all that for me back in the day. Again, he played sax. My sister sang, so I was always around music. And, you know, back then coming up as a kid, you know, if it wasn't Michael Jackson or, you know, Stevie Wonder or, you know, Kool and the Gang, you know, we was always influenced by what was going on and we wanted to be stars, you know, at a young age. I know at least I did, man. But
Was there any sort of, like, park scene, though, in Long Island? Like, Long Island's
oh, yes,
different.
Sir.
There
yes,
still
sir.
Was.
Oh, big time.
What
man.
Was the park scene?
I was
scene?
In a little hood, man. You know, Wine Dance. Big up to my people out Wine Dance,
Wine
man.
You've told me about Wine Dance before.
Yeah.
Crime Dance.
Yeah, I didn't even know if y'all knew. That's what we call it, Crime Dance,
I lived there
man.
For a little while.
Wow.
Next door to a chop shop and a whorehouse.
Okay.
Watch your safe, dude. You got your people going to be coming looking for you, baby. Hey, yo, but, you know, it was It was like, you know, being raised by a village, man. It was a small hood, but, you know, everybody knew everybody. You know, things still popped off, man. But, you know, it's what made me who I am.
Do you remember who the DJ was at the park?
Yeah, it was a few, man. We had DJ Pleasure, big up Pleasure. That was one of the first cats I remember. Nelson PR, another cat I remember. Then after that, it you know, just went crazy. Breeze, Maniac, Dr. Say, I mean, you know, list goes on, man. And that's another thing about the town. It was flourishing, man, from sports to music to, you know, everybody trying to come up, man. And it kind of
Who else is from Wine Dance from sports? Anyone who popped off?
Yeah, we had this brother named George Cooper, fullback for the football team. He went to Ohio State, then he went to the pros, man. He hurt his shoulder, dislocated his shoulder, so it slowed him down a lot, man. But, you know, some good things came out of there, man, you know, as far as inspiration, man. So, you know, I owe a lot to that, man.
And at what age did you start getting serious about rhymes?
I always thought I was pretty good, man, but I think like eighth, ninth grade, man, I started getting a little more serious, and you know, at that time, hip-hop was growing in the hood, and at that time, you know, it was DJing and MCing for me, but I think about that time, I knew I was ready to, you know, stick to MCing, man, but, you know, I think it was a pretty good move. I'm all right on the ones and twos, man. But,
wait, don't say you DJ, too.
Oh, no doubt.
Everyone DJ.
Yeah, you have to, man. Well, you have to, man. You know, I got the Serato set up in the crib. I got a whole room full of vinyl. You know what I mean? I switched over to the Serato. But, you know, we going to the crib tonight, man. I'm going to turn the Serato on and we going to rock
bit.
On. You know
okay.
what I mean? We starting it off with Annie Up, man. Yeah. I told my man Fang, you know. But, yeah, man, we you know, we love this music, man. And, you know, me.
So you start eighth, ninth grade, you start writing somewhat seriously. Is this like during school? You sitting in class just writing rhymes?
Well, actually, what I was doing was kind of, you know, sponging everything up, man. That's when I started realizing that my education – helped me, you know, in what I was doing, man. You know, hand Mo D back in the day and Melly Mel back in the day. I realized, yo, man, either go get the newspaper or, you know, make sure you're in school early, man. I understood that vocabulary and understanding, you know, how to write essays. You know what I mean? It sound corny to all my young MCs out there, but listen, man, it's about understanding how to write, how to attract the crowd, how to tell a story, how to put, you know, interesting things in the story, man. And if you in that age right now, man, you in school, man, learn an essay, man, and watch how dope you get on the mic. You heard?
Where in this story is gaining knowledge of self?
I gained knowledge of self in 86. Early, late 85.
Same age though, 9th grade, 10th grade?
No, 86, nah. Not until he was a rap. Not until he was on already.
Yeah, I just got knowledge of self in like late 85, 86.
So your career was already starting.
So you had just got knowledge when you first put out records?
Just before I met Eric B, man. It was like maybe a few months before I met Eric B. Word up.
So you get serious with the rhymes as a kid, and you're saying like...
Did you get his rap name?
What was your first rap name?
Kid Wizard.
Way better than Rakim.
Right. Way better. Right? I should have kept that one, right?
Exactly. Way better. Now, here's the thing, Rock. Here's what I got to ask you.
Oh, Rock.
This is what makes you a genius. This is what makes you why everyone looks at you the way we do, and I'm nervous about talking to you.
Thank you, my brother.
I mean that from the bottom of my heart. This is a big deal for me. How were you able to write in a way that you hadn't heard anyone write previously?
Good question.
Before Rakim, there was no Rakim. I'll be honest. We don't look at those records
the same
way.
Like, when people rap now in a certain way, we're like, oh, he kind of sounded like Rakim. But there was nothing like
nothing
that before.
Who? I mean, maybe you'll say it was Kaz. Maybe you'll say there was someone. But who was it that you based it on? Because I don't hear it.
Nah, I think it had, well, you know, my biggest influence was Kaz, Melly Mel, and Mo D. You know, those are like my big brothers, man. But I think it was my music, my involvement with music, being around music, my mother playing jazz all the time, and me liking jazz and being in a band and learning how to play an instrument. I kind of learned time and space, you know what I mean? But my secret was John Coltrane, man. I used to listen to John Coltrane, and I used to want to make my flow sound like a John Coltrane solo, you know what I mean? And
like the sax.
No, I don't know. Because guess what? I'm a simpleton.
You know what I mean?
But so your voice, you were making it like an instrument.
Yes, sir.
But the funny thing is, but usually when people do that, like the people I think of making their voice like an instrument, I think of someone where the vocals are secondary. Like I think of Old Dirty in that way. But with Old Dirty, it's not about what he's saying. It's about the way he used his voice.
Exactly.
You actually use your, it's not just your voice. You use the words to fit that. Like, you were such a master.
And intellect.
Like. Right. That's the thing. Like, you used word selection that other people didn't use previous to you. What you said earlier about how studying was important to what you did.
Indeed.
It actually, like, would you try to find words?
Oh, no doubt.
Would you be looking in a dictionary like, I'm going to find a good word.
It wasn't really... Like, I couldn't look in a dictionary. It would kind of throw me off. Because then you open a book of... You know, you open a dictionary now, you see millions of words, and it takes...
Method Man is saying hello to Rakim.
Oh, Method Man, you is saluting to Rakim.
Saluting, hand on heart. He kind of waved to us.
I'll take the wave. But
that's Papa Wu right there.
That's Papa Wu, who's taking time.
That's the first person I ever... Papa Wu's the first person I ever heard speak at a 5% rally.
Wow. Really?
Papa Wu right there.
By the way, this is a great moment.
Yo, there's 1,000 niggas with meth.
Yeah, that's Method Man. It's Method Man at a New York show, and there's Rick Ross as well. But this is a great moment to have with Rakim, and we'll get to it. I don't want to stop from where we are. Let's get back to... We'll talk about how other artists respect you, but about how you would find words for your rhymes.
Oh, yeah. I was always fishing for words, man, and that's what I mean by, you know, paying a little extra attention in English class and social studies and things like that. A lot of people used to ask me, yo, you be looking in the dictionary? Said, nah, man, I'm looking in the dictionary, man. But
you absorbed it.
Exactly, man. I used to absorb everything I could, man, in the midst of, you know, living.
Okay, so here's the craziest question I have. Rakim, to me, you're like one of the coolest figures in my life.
Were you
cool in school?
Oh, man, listen, man.
Because you were paying attention in class, which wasn't always
no doubt. But listen, man, I'm not going to sit here like I was a, you know, straight A student or even a B student, but the teachers knew I can do it. I was a little knucklehead. Sometimes I skip class, you know what I mean? But I was a
smart, young
cat, man. I got it. But
not because you weren't having a good time also and You did both. You were social and you paid attention.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Exactly, man.
Did you drink?
And at the same time, you know, moms and pops, you know, they ain't play that, you know, cutting school. And, you know what I mean? Even though I did as much as I could, but, you know. You know,
your parents were on you.
Ultimate respect for moms and pops, man.
And you were always in a two parent home. Your parents were together.
Yes, sir.
Always. To this day?
No, they passed away.
They both have passed, but they stayed together.
Always, yes, sir.
What about weed and drinking?
What about it, man?
Did you do that in high school?
Yeah, I smoked a little in high school, man. You know what I mean? Drank a little bit in high school.
But you weren't you weren't like out of control in any way.
Nah, not at all, man. And again, you know, I had to come home at night, and you know, moms used to, and it's funny, she used to do it to the whole fam. You come in at night, late at night, toe up a little bit. Moms will look at you. She'd be like, come here, boy. Let me smell your eyes. You know what I mean? And being a young kid, the first thing you do is you sober up. You get nervous. And she'd be like, you know, start laughing on you. But you had to have that respect for moms and pops. You couldn't come in sloppy. You know what I mean? You couldn't come in too late, especially on school
nights.
They might
have known you were doing something.
Yeah, you know what I mean? But if they seen I was handling my little, you know, swagger and coming home at the right time and waking up going to school, feeding the dogs, you know what I mean? Cleaning up my little area, cutting the grass. You know, they ain't really had too much to say.
Was it a big dog family? Do you guys always have dogs?
Yeah, we had like three dogs, man.
Who were the dogs? What kind of dogs?
Had German Shepherds and Collies and shit like that.
You still have dogs to this day or no?
Oh, no doubt. Well, my wife got dogs and they kind of attached to me, but yeah.
What kind of dogs do you have now?
She got a mini Yorkie and a poodle, man.
Yeah, please don't say both mini.
Nah, the poodle's kind of big.
Full size, okay.
He's supposed to be, but the other ones are.
I just want to picture Rakim with a mini.
Oh, yo, you should see me on Sundays, Jay. Look. Dog right here, man. I got the remote control every now and then. Damn, oh, pardon me. Dog right here. I'll be like, yo, go upstairs with your moms, man. I always loved animals, man, so it's all right, man. It's all right.
Okay, so we got to get to your career a little bit. How does it end up getting started, the actual career get started for Rakim?
My man Alvin Tony, cat I grew up with in Wine Dance, from the football team, my man Albie J, what up, baby? He brought Eric B to my crib one day, man.
Wait, did you say who? Albie
J.
Is it the same person or no? Different Albie.
Who you think?
Albie. Oh, different. Okay, yeah. I'm just being clear. Yeah,
Alvin Tony.
All right.
So I'm sitting at the crib one day, and he knocks on the door, and I was real tight, you know, because moms and pops ain't, you know. Appreciate just anybody coming to the crib too. So I go to the door, open the door, my man standing there with Eric B. So I look at him, I'm like, yo. He like, yo, Rod, this is Eric B, man. You know, he live with Molly Mall and Magic and all that. He wanna make a record and shit. So I look at him and shit. Real shit. I look at Eric and shit. Like, yo, Duke, you know I don't like nobody in the crib. He's like, yo, Rob, real shit, man. Yo, he be with Molly. He work at BLS, boom, boom, boom. And at this time, I thought I was going to be a football player. You know what I mean? So I was like, all right, come on in the crib, man. Took him downstairs, and I had this little tape that I made. So when I go to college, niggas start talking, I could just put my tape in. And it's funny, I'm saying tape. Well, it was a cassette.
Of course.
You know what I mean?
What else would it be?
But soon as niggas start talking, I could throw the cassette in and let it rock. I ain't have to say nothing. But I let Eric be in the crib. Took him downstairs, the little basement area. Mom and Pop had hooked up real nice. Throw the joint in. And there was like a long version of my melody. You know what I mean? So Eric B heard it.
Hold on, what beat? Who did the beat?
His brother played on it.
Oh, your brother played my melody.
Yeah, we used to go to my man Maniac house, this kid Paul Garrard. Big up to Maniac. We used to go to his crib. He had like a nice little setup where we can kind of make little beats, you know what I mean? Casios and, you know, shit like that back in the day. But it was nice, man. But, you know, we used to go over there and do my little thing. But I let Eric B hear the tape, man. And he was like, yo, you know, I could take it to Marley and, you know, see what we can do with it. So I was like, you know, I'm going to college. I don't really want to make a record at this point. I said, but if you get a deal.
Did you already get accepted to college? Or you was going?
Nah, I was just working out trying to get, you know what I mean?
You
know,
so you planned on going to college?
Yeah, and you know, my cousin kind of put a good word in for me at Stony Brook. So I was trying to, you know, work out, get my little game on. I played quarterback.
You were quarterback?
No doubt.
You know, by the way, man? It's only right.
Yeah, it's only right.
What else would he be?
Cool. Got to be in control, man.
In control.
But, man, it's doing that, and Eric B comes to the crib. I let him hear it, And I was like, yo, I don't really know if I want to do that, you know. He was like, well, yo, you can be featured on the joint and you don't have to sign nothing. That's why I was Eric B. featuring Rakim.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? So
thank you, because I've always wondered about that. It's never quite made sense.
Yeah, I thought I was going to be quarterback somewhere, man.
So you didn't want to sign. You said, let it be your record, and I'll just be featured on it.
Word up. And he came up with it, but I was kind of hitting around, like, how could we do it where I don't have to sign? And he was like, well, you can just be featured on the joint. And
he never heard anything before that.
Eric B.? From
just,
me?
That's the first, yeah.
Yeah, that was the first.
So year. Somebody he knew told him.
Yeah, my man Alvin Tony.
This
was kind of the story. He asked my man who was the nicest cat out there.
Yeah, and I remember. I heard him tell this.
Yeah, and he brought him, you know, to the crib, and, you know, the rest is history.
So
man.
He thought you were, there were people already, even from very young, who thought you were really nice.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And they would tell you, like, yo, you're really good. Like, this is really good.
No doubt.
But you had no plans on even pursuing
it. I didn't think it was, you know what I mean? I didn't think it was that good and worth pursuing.
Do you remember the first time you then heard Eric B. as president on the radio?
No doubt. No
wait,
doubt.
Eric B. for president is the record you made?
Yeah.
And My Melody on the B-side. Right, you put My Melody on the B-side, correct?
Right.
So you kept My Melody. You went Eric B. for president or right. Eric B. as president.
Is it
depending
true you recorded
president.
My Melody sitting on the couch?
Just like this. And it was funny because Marley Marl kept going.
The mic.
Marley Marl kept saying, yo, Ross, stand up, man. Give me, you know, I need a little more energy. I said, yo, if I stand up, it's going to sound the same way, man. Don't matter, man. And, you know, he looked at me, he was like, all right. So we did a couple more takes, and it was the same shit. Turn up the bass, check out my, and I had a crazy nasal tone. Turn up the bass, check out my melody, and I said, gone, man. He was like, yo, man, sure you don't want to stand up? I was like, nah, I'm good, man.
So but yeah, well, how old? 18?
17. World up. So MC Shan comes to the joint.
Okay, of course he did.
So he was like, yo, Shan, take over the session and shit. So Shan come in. Press record. I start rhyming. Turn up the bass. Check out my melody. Shan hit stop, and I guess Marley already told him, yo, try to get him to do a rhyme. So Shan hit stop. Turn around. He said, yo, Lord, yo, God, won't you stand up? And you know what I mean? I was like, yo, Shan, man, Marley already tried that, man. I said, yo, this is it, man. This is it, man. I said, yo, it ain't that I'm sleepy or high, man. This is the way I rhyme, man. So you know, we went through it a couple more times, man, but I stuck to my guns and did what I did. And long story short, we did a show after the song dropped with Juice Crew. And I'm walking up to the back door. I see MC Shan, Magic, Allah Bless the Dead, and Marley. So I'm walking up to the door, and I see him. And they was like, yo, God, we get it, man. We get it now, man. You know what I mean? After it came out, and it kind of did what it did, but... You know, I'm glad I stuck to my guns.
Which one took off first, My Melody or Eric B.'s President?
I think the President kind of
that was that
first.
Moved
that's
more.
That's the first one I heard.
And you heard Marley play it first or Magic?
Actually, Teddy Ted Special K.
Oh, shout out to the Awesome Two.
Wow,
they were the first ones you heard play.
No doubt.
And did it say? Now is this the moment in which you go, oh, I actually may be an MC. Maybe I'm not a football player. Maybe I'm an MC.
Yeah, it kind of started resonating at that point, man, and you know. You can see I stopped growing, and it would have been rough out there, 5'8", trying to be a quarterback.
Are you really 5'8"?
About 5'8", 5'9".
That really speaks to, first of all, okay, here's the difference. I'm close to 5'8", 5'7", 3/4", whatever I am, 5'8". And I am one kind of man. You are 5'8". And you were a different kind of man. I've never thought of you as being 5'8". Like, I'm thought of as short. You're not thought of as short. Because he's a god. Because he's the god MC,
thank
the 18.
You, man. Thank you.
Oh, that's so crazy. All right, so how crazy does the record go in New York?
Yo, it was, I mean.
Talking to that mic, Rakim. I never thought I'd have to say that to Rakim. But
it shocked me, man. I didn't expect it to do what it did.
You liked it when you did it, right? Or
yeah, but. You know, coming from Long Island, you know, so far away from the game, you would think, you know, I didn't know how, you know, the world in New York would take it, man.
Right.
You know, I'm a humble dude, man. You know, to this day, you know what I mean? I try to stay humble and not let nothing get to me, but recognize my accolades and you know, I respect that. But I ain't think it was going to pop off like that. That's why I was like, yo, man, you can do the joint, man. I'm going to go to college and...
And where'd you go?
Where'd you end up going to school?
I wound up going to Ghetto USA.
No, I know that school.
University.
Which is?
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, the record popped off so quick.
Oh, that you didn't go?
Yeah, I had to drop out of high school.
Did he pay for the record?
I had to drop out of high school.
Oh, you were senior? You were a senior?
Yeah.
Just like my senior year, Saif. I was popping that year.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Did he pay you to feature on the record?
Yeah, no doubt. We got paid. You know, we split everything down the middle from the rep.
And then,
and who was the who did the original version was on which label again?
Zakiya
Records. That's the original version. Yes, and sir. then you ended up, that was a single deal.
Oh yeah.
And then you signed with 4th and Broadway.
Yeah, kind of moved over to 4th after that.
And who brought you to 4th and Broadway? Why that?
It was like a merger, because my man from Zakiya kind of set that up with 4th and Broadway. Kind of, I guess he seen that it was
probably bigger than what he expected.
Yeah,
like,
and passed it off to them, you know, which was a good move, because we went from there to MCA, you know, 4th and Broadway, which is MCA, but we went to Universal after that and kind of moved up. But
You did always stay. Are there some people MCA. Who always stayed involved in this from the beginning, from 4th and Broadway to MCA to Universal?
Nah, it kind of changed as it went on. 4th and Broadway, I think we did the single with them. And then I think the first album was Universal, Paid in Full. But, you know, again, man, it kind of pushed us along. Once we got in 4th and Broadway, it kind of opened everybody's, you know, ears up, and we kind of moved up in MCA.
Saif, I'm going to do something crazy we don't ever do on Juan Epstein. But in fear of at some point he's going to have to leave and we don't get to it, yeah. I want to throw this out. Way down the road, we're jumping way down the road, and okay. I don't want to skip all this stuff, but... At some point, you've been gone for a while, and it was like Rakim's going to come out with Dre. Right. That's going to happen.
Hey, you jumped.
I know I jumped, but it's important because I jumped way far, way ahead. But I get it. Rakim's going to come out with Dre.
Yeah,
I buy a fucking bootleg. There were many of them. New York to Cali.
Right.
From New York to Cali. Dope fucking record. Right. There are these Dre records that supposedly exist between Rakim and Dre. What actually happened? Was that ever actually going to happen?
Yeah, I went out there, was working with him and everything, and got a little timely, and you know, Dre had a lot going on, and after a while, I was like, Dre, look, man, you know, been out here for a while, bro. You know,
now this is unusual to hear, Rakim, because you are generally known as the one who's slow, and I say that with all due respect as the greatest of all time. But you are generally known as the one who might not, you know, might be a little
take
late.
Take
you a minute.
Yeah, but
but it was Dre. You're saying,
and that's funny. That's funny. Not, you know, not to put it all on Dre, but you know, he had a lot on his plate, I guess, man. And
this is around 94. Around there?
Nah, this is 2001.
Oh, this is that much later.
2002.
But I gotta. I was hearing this in the 90s, even that this was happening.
No, I think that's when he first mentioned it.
In the
he first mentioned something in like the late 90s.
Okay.
They asked him who would he like to work with.
Yes, I heard that.
Yeah, you know.
Not 94 though.
Hold on. Do you remember the record New York to Cali?
Yeah.
Was that a Dre record or not?
Nah.
It was not.
That was something that. A joint I was working on that didn't make the album.
Okay,
kind of put it out later on, but yeah.
And so this is after the album Book of Life.
Yeah.
Okay. This is after that.
Yeah.
So you were out there.
Yeah.
And the process was just slow.
Yeah, man. You know, he had a couple people on the label, and again, a bunch on his plate. So it got to the point I was like, "Look, Dre, man, I appreciate the opportunity and all that, man." I said, "But listen, man, I'm gonna go back to New York and." And he was like, Rob, man, you know, give me a little more time. You know, that's why I knew it was, you know, he had a lot on his plate or whatever, man. But gave him a little more time. It still ain't work out, man. I came back and kind of started over, man. But big up to Dre, man, and good luck with everything in the future, man.
So there was no hard feelings? You just didn't have
not at all, man. He did some good things.
You know Dre's a billionaire, right?
Oh, no doubt. Okay. No doubt.
It worked out. It worked out.
He said good luck to Dre.
He's
a billionaire.
No. You know.
It worked out for him.
Things happen every day, man.
Right.
Happen every day.
Luck doesn't straight.
Yeah, exactly. There are Rakim Dre records somewhere.
Yeah, there's a few.
How many do you guys get done?
But the thing is you know, me and Dre may have only did a couple, but it was some other producers.
Battle Cat, people like that?
Nah.
The to all them Mailman? Dre dudes.
Mailman. That's what I mean. Mailman, Battle Cat.
I didn't get a chance to work with Mailman, man.
Scott Storch.
It was a bunch going on. Now, Scott was
doing the Dre.
Yeah, that was kind of like around the time where they kind of split up. So.
Oh, right, right, right.
Scott was at the studio a couple times. We kicked it, and we was like, yeah, you know, I can't wait to... And
yeah,
I ain't see Scott no more.
Another very important question that takes us back a little bit. The what's on your mind story. Is that a real story or is it just a straight up fantasy story? you're on the train.
Yo, you're just...
Sorry, it's Rakim.
Go introduce Red Meth.
Go introduce Red Meth.
Don't ask me 5% questions.
5% questions are all you. All right, hurry up, though, please. Hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. All right, so, yeah, what's on your mind? Is that just a straight up fantasy story? What's up with that?
Yeah, that's artistry, man. That's what we used to call lady songs, you know what I mean? Songs for the ladies, things like that. But that Mahogany, you know, or you know, it's some of it's how I feel, you know, let the rhythm hit him. I said before I let this Fifi, I get Fifi is actually my wife name. So it's hidden truths, you know what I mean, inside now, but most of it's artistry.
How long have you been with your wife?
Since ninth grade.
Ninth grade. Wow, that is when I was with, I was with my ex-girlfriend in ninth grade.
Your ex-girlfriend.
And we had a hell of a run. We made it till we were 20, which is a pretty good run.
No doubt.
This is more impressive, though. You're talking about 30 years.
30-something. Well,
30-something
like she remind me all the time, 30-something. 30-something. But it's a beautiful thing.
Well,
man.
Black don't crack. You guys look fantastic. So you wouldn't even know it was 30 something.
Thank you, baby.
I don't want to get completely lost here. What's your favorite one, man? Their
favorite song.
The favorite one, man. I think over the years, recently, I'll give you a second to jog your thoughts. Recently, for me, and by that I mean the last 10 years or so, I feel like my favorite has become. I Ain't No Joke. I don't know why. I don't know if it's from a DJ standpoint. I love cutting it up. Like, it's a good record to bring in. The first video I remember is Microphone Fiend with you kicking over the letters and shit. But I Ain't No Joke has become one that I... But at the same time, if someone put a gun to my head and was like, what's the best Eric B. and Rakim song or Rakim song of all time, I might end up saying Know the Ledge, which is the Juice soundtrack.
Yeah,
but which one for you is the one that stands out the most?
It's funny, man, because like myself, I like songs that people probably never even heard.
Well, believe me, I heard it. What is it?
I like the joints like Punisher. Lyrics of Fury was my favorite too for a long time.
Yeah.
And then it became, it's funny, but The 18th Letter and
Saga Begins?
That's a good one too.
When I'm flowing,
Pete Rock, that's my dude. On that saga.
It's been a long time,
but yeah,
who's back? I mean,
And then I'm gonna have to say, Know the Ledge, man. You know what I mean? That joint right there, it just worked out perfect. You know what I mean? It was funny. They called me up and told me about the movie. They let me sit down and watch the movie before it came out. They let me know they wanted me to do the soundtrack. So I went and checked the movie out, which was dope. And I had put this record aside maybe 4 or 5 days before that, the bass line to Know the Ledge.
You had found the bass line?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean? So I put it to the side, not knowing, you know, what I was going to do with it, but I know it sounds dope. I'm like, let me put this to the side. Went and seen the movie, came back home, went straight in the little pre-production room I had at the time. And the first thing I did, I had a stack leaning on the speakers, and the first record that I pulled out was that bass line. I put it on, doom, doo doom, doom, doo doom. It's crazy. I said, yo, this is it right here, man. Added a couple things to it, and everything just worked out perfect.
So you produced Know the Ledge?
Yeah, no doubt.
How proud are you of that? Because that has to mean a little extra, too. I mean, you have great records that Marley did, but it's different when you did it yourself.
Exactly, man. And again, I played the drums on that joint. And it was kind of like, you know, something that I kind of started from, you know, from scratch, man. And the way everything just popped off, it was like perfect. You know, sometimes when you're doing a record, you might have a vision or, you know, a certain sound that you're trying to create. And you might, you know, not get there, but you get close. Not saying that Juice was perfect, but it just everything worked out perfect. Like I looped the beat up right quick in the crib. was in this little tiny room. Wifey kept cracking the door open on me. And, but I wrote two verses to it, went to the studio, laid the two verses down, played the drums, took it back home, wrote the other two verses, came back in. And, you know what I mean, the rest is history, man. But, you know, the energy I got from that movie, man, and just the feeling of it, and I had a feeling it was going, you know, resonate big in hip-hop, man. So I kind of, you know, used that energy, and that's what came out.
Did you like Ghostface's version? Did you ever hear?
No doubt. That's my dude.
Ghost is back?
Yeah, that's my
man. You and Ghost have to like each other. I couldn't imagine not getting along.
I mean, I love Ghost, man. I mean, he one of the cats that keep it so hip-hop, man. I respect him big time.
Okay. I'm sorry. We're taking a 30-second timeout from this incredible episode of Juan Epstein featuring the God, the 18th letter, Rakim Allah, to give a shout-out to our friends at Bevel. Yes, getbevel.com/Juan. That's getbevel.com/Juan. It is the first and only shaving system for men with coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Cypher Sound's life has changed. Many men's lives have changed. My life has changed because of Bevel, okay? It's dermatologist recommended. It helps reduce razor bumps. It's incredible. It's a razor that will change your life, okay? Up to 80% of black men struggle with razor bumps, okay? And up to 30% of all men and women deal with the same issue, myself included. Incredible razors, great for your skin, gonna clean you up and get you looking incredible, all right? Plus, Nas is an investor, right? Plus, Nas is an investor, so you know it's straight hip-hop. Start shaving smarter today at getbevel.com/Juan. That's so you can support the podcast as well. Getbevel.com/Juan for 20% off your first month's membership, all right? If they ask you for a code, type in that Juan app, all right? Thank you so much, Bevel. And now more with the 18th letter, Rakim Allah.
So let's take a moment to talk about that, the people. You know, you've continued to be a fan. This is your culture. I mean, it may be weird for us to understand because you helped create the culture and you're the flag bearer and the standard, but you're a fan of it.
Yes, sir.
So I want to throw some names at you and tell me any interaction you had with these people and what it was like with you.
Okay.
And I'll start with Biggie Smalls. Did you and Biggie have much interaction?
Yeah, man, a couple times, not much, but I remember the first time I seen Biggie. I was in Cali. I was taking my son. It's funny, man. I was taking my son to see Jimmy Iovine. This is when Time Warner was trying to cut ties with Jimmy Iovine's label because of all of the
controversy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he was trying to hire some young artists and heard my son can rhyme. My oldest son, Tomel, Adam rhyming since he was like 4 years old. So I take my son out there to see Jimmy Iovine. Later on that night, I think I was taking my son to the movies, and I'm walking through the lobby. I look over. I see about 5-6 cats. I could tell it was New York, but I ain't see Big yet. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I could tell it was New York. I'm in Cali. I could tell it was New York. But I look. I'm like, all right, New York in the building. I look back. Big had his back turned. I look again. I'm like, yo, hold up, man. Yeah, this is New York. That's Big right there, you know what I mean? And as I'm looking, my son, when I look back, my son damn near out in the street. Yo, so I call my son back, and as I'm doing that, Big turned around. And then he was like, yo, peace, man, boom, boom, boom. Went over, you know, gave him a pound. We exchanged respect.
What did he react like to see you, though? Because the same way you're my hero, you are Biggie's hero.
Wow.
And even though Biggie's all of our hero, it's crazy to think about. He's younger than you.
Wow.
He looked up to you. So
I didn't know that.
I mean, like, what did it feel like? Do you remember? Like someone who admired you?
No doubt. And I didn't expect that because, you know, again, man, I'm a humble dude, man. I try to, you know, take it as it come, man. But you know what I mean? When I look back, he was like, yo, peace, baby. Boom, boom, boom. You know, I walked over. You know, I felt nothing but love. You know, he let me know how much he appreciated what I did for hip-hop and all that. Asked me what I was doing. Told him I was, you know, out there seeing Jimmy. So we kicked it for a quick minute, man, and I bounced off, man. But, yeah, man, I definitely felt the love I'm sure he felt, you know, the mutual respect from me as well.
Did you have, speaking of Juice, did you have any interaction with Tupac?
Yeah, we met a couple times, man. It's funny, the first time I met Pac, was back in the day. We was doing, we was on tour in Florida, and we pulling into the arena, and there's some cats standing out there with this big Rakim poster. So, you know, we stopped, and we opened the door up, and it was Digital Underground before they popped off. My man Hump had drew the picture. It's crazy. It was a picture of me laying
Humpty Hump, Shock G, whichever Shock version G. it was.
Well, you know what I mean? My man Shock, he drew a you know, mad piece, man. Big like up Shock.
He did actual artwork and drew a picture.
Doubt. Crazy, too. I still got it in my studio to this day, man.
Wow,
to
really?
To this day. World up. And this was... this was 89.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. When they first started popping.
World up.
Like, this is like Do What You Like. Yeah, yeah.
World is Born. Just before that. You know what I mean? Because after the joint came out and I seen, I was like, oh, okay, that's bing, 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 bing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But dope artist, man. And, you know, I seen them that day. I extended the love, got them passes, introduced them. You know, I'm sure they probably knew, you know, mad people already, but I made sure I got them passes, bought them in a joint.
Just
man.
Out of respect because you love that they drew a picture of you, they just showed love.
Yes, sir.
Got
yes,
it. Sir. Okay. And Pac was there then?
Yeah, no doubt.
And then did you get to meet him around Juice also?
We met again. I didn't meet him for the Juice joint. I met him like a little couple years before that. And then we used to speak on the phone through a mutual friend when he was in the studio. He used to call my crib.
What would he say to you? What would he call you about?
First time he called, it was just, yo, Rob, man, what's going on, man? You know what I mean? Yo, I'm up in the studio. I was like, Pac, peace, man. You know, just the what's good rhetoric, man. You know what I mean? But he was up there doing his thing. And we just spoke for a brief minute. I told him, you know, do your thing. And I was like, yo, we got to get in the studio together. And every time we see each other or speak to each other, because we spoke more than we seen each other. But it's just that love, man. I knew, you know, what he stood for and what he was, you know, trying to do, man. You know, I love, you know, the conscious movement. I love MCs that was bringing that, man. So I had, you know, nothing but respect for Pac.
And let's keep going. What's your relationship with Hov?
Oh, Hov, man. I don't hang out with too many cats, man. You know, as far as entertainers, man. But Hov is one of the cats I got a lot of respect for, man. You know, watching where I came from with hip hop. You know, it was lucrative. It was lucrative then, man. But watching, you know, how I grew and how he, you know, did his thing, man. Not only in business, man, but on wax, man. You know, I think Hov is one of the dopest songwriters to this day, man. You know what I mean? And met Hov a few times, and you know what I mean, it's just, you know, nothing but respect, man.
So let me ask this. I don't know how to ask this in a way that makes sense or is what appropriate, but Hov, we all know, is richer than God, right?
Like yes,
Hov is it's him and Beyonce. They are
no doubt. They are
different level.
No doubt.
You've obviously done well for yourself, but your biggest wealth is in who you are and what people
yes,
think
sir.
Of you.
Yes, sir. I'm nowhere near rich. Don't
exactly.
Don't
you are you are somewhat a regular guy financially,
right?
Even though you're not a regular guy in the way we see you.
Thank you.
So what
Thank
is it like when you have an interaction with someone like Hov, who when you're, you know, at one point, he obviously admires you, but at the same time you're like, you couldn't even imagine the life that Hov lives,
right?
Even
right.
though he lives it partially because of you.
Well, it goes around, man. Because I remember when I came out, you know, me and Eric B had the first $1 million record contract. And, you know, when I came out,
this is your second contract?
Yeah, when we signed the first album deal.
Oh, for, you know with Fourth mean? And Broadway?
No, excuse me, with
MCA, Universal.
Yeah,
Universal.
You know
okay.
what I mean? But, We was living, you know,
pretty
good
large,
at that time.
Pretty,
yeah, you know what I mean?
The time, it was
and,
large.
And, you know, you pulling up and your things and you got your things on and you
yeah.
got your, you know, it's the same thing, I guess, that the people before me felt when that time was
of
present.
Of course.
So, you know what I mean? I get it. And it don't bother me at all, man. Like, it never, you know, like, crossed my mind. Like, and on that note, like, you know, I'm a big sports fan. And it's the same thing that happened to them. Some of the, you know, players back in the day that was trendsetters and trailblazers, you know, for some of the contracts that the players is getting now.
Listen, Barry Sanders didn't even make what Todd Gurley makes, right?
It's exactly.
Barry Sanders is one of the greatest of all. Todd Gurley's a nice running back. Nice. He's not Barry Sanders.
At all. Not yet. Big up, T. Yeah, I mean, next, baby.
Yeah, listen. You know what I mean? Hopefully it doesn't run all over your Giants. Are you Giants?
Yeah, all day, man.
Hopefully
all
it doesn't
day.
Run all over your Giants tomorrow.
Yeah, man. And I got to get up early for that one.
Early. Ooh. I know. We'll wrap up soon, so I know you
got to don't worry about it. I got to just stay up and not go to sleep to catch that one.
You know, I'm a Redskins fan, so I want to get up and watch it tomorrow and see what happens,
too. Yes, sir.
What about Eminem?
Man, it's funny. I just played the freestyle he did last night. Well, he didn't do the freestyle last night. I just played it in my crib.
His new record, yeah.
M is a beast, man. You know what I mean? I respect M. He's still on fire. He did a little joint where he was dissing Trump, and he said something about what's her name? Querum from ESPN.
Molly Carum.
Right. Molly Carum. You know what I mean? And yeah, M is a beast, man.
Has he ever reached out to you? Have you guys talked? Have you and him met?
Yeah.
Did he shout you out in his Grammy, in his Oscar speech?
Yes, sir.
He shouted you out. And have you guys met?
Yeah, we met a few times back when I was out there with Dre. We did a couple magazines together, too. You know what I mean?
You never
in the studio.
Have you ever rapped in the same room or no?
Nah.
Is he one that sort of blew your mind as far as where he went with the same way we talked about you didn't have someone to base it off of? Did you see him and go, how did Eminem get to this place?
No doubt, man, because he, you know, M, he made the right choices in what he did, man. You know, not only is he nice, but he made choices where we couldn't get mad and couldn't deny him of what he was doing. You know what I mean? He didn't try to be nothing, you know, that he wasn't. He let us know who he was off the rip, man. And at the end of the day, it's a crazy talent, man. And, you know,
do you consider him, the people, the names we just mentioned, Biggie, Tupac, Hove and Eminem.
That's where y'all went?
That's where we went. That's where I decided to go. Are all four of those names that you think about in your top 10? Do you think about a top 10? You're so many people's number one.
I like so many different artists for different things. I never really, you know, categorize, you know, top 5 or top 10. None of that, man. I was just talking to Billy and Dance. Like, those is two of my favorite MCs all
Fame
time.
And Dance, yeah, of course.
You know what I mean? And you know, again, you know, I got crazy respect for Hove. I got mad respect for Ghost. It's like, you know, I love and I'm a fan of hip-hop so much. And knowing how difficult it is to rate talent and artists when they don't do the same thing, you know what I mean? I don't try. I just appreciate, you know, what I like. And
have you spent time with Kendrick Lamar's music?
Yeah, no doubt.
What are your thoughts on Kendrick?
Kendrick is nice too, man. And to be a young cat and to still have some of the, you know, some of the traits that lyricists love, man. You know, I respect that, man. You know. And word up, big up, my dude. Keep doing what you do. I love to hear young cats spit fire. Word up.
Now, Syph, here's where we went. We talked about how he feels about some of the greats of all time, interactions he's had with them.
Okay.
I asked about what's on your mind. We talked about the history of Know the Ledge.
Okay.
We didn't have any 5% talk.
All right.
We didn't talk about
yet. Bro.
We didn't talk about album cuts off of Paid in Full or Follow the Leader. So wherever you want to jump in.
I did when I was A&R, and it was an engineer. His name was Eli.
Yeah, Eli Tubal.
Who you shouted out. Rakim shouted him out on record,
I believe.
And I was like, a couple days, we were working with him a couple days, and it was like, Eli. And I was like, yo, there's no way you done. He was like, yeah. I was like, holy shit. Like, and Kara Lewis was Nina Sky's agent.
That's right.
So I was like, I felt connected to Rakim. In a way that nobody else could, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, a lot of people have had Kara Lewis.
Just a little, I just want to delve into a little bit because you, Wu-Tang, and the 90s, you know, Poor Righteous Teachers, what led me into the path of gaining knowledge? Like, how did you get into it?
It's kind of, It's kind of like at first I remember being a young kid. Me and my man was walking to the park. And long, try to make a long story short, we walked to this park. There was this brother out there that was kind of stranded, and he needed some money to get back where he was going. And he stopped me and my man. And we mad younger than him, you know what I mean? But he was like, yo, my man's, you know, I'm out here, you know, I live in such and such. I'm trying to get back home. I ain't got no money. And me and my mans, we got candy money in our pocket.
Like a couple bucks.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah, we looking at this dude like, I know this dude don't think he going, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, yo, he seemed so sincere, and he starts speaking, and me and my man looked at him, and after he finished talking, yo, I got a dollar. You got a dollar for you?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Gave him some money because he was so sincere in what he was saying. We believe he ain't had no money.
Right.
So we made sure, you know, we gave him enough to get back home. Years later, I found out that he was righteous. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. When the guards came in Wyandance High School and started speaking, I remember sitting there like, that dude was talking back in the day. You know what I mean? Because it was scarce in Long Island at that time. But from that to hearing a couple guards building in the school, you know, I knew that was for me. And, you know, I quickly stepped in the cipher and just started, you know, paying attention. Walked right to, you know, one of the head guards at the time and said, yo, I need knowledge itself, man. And, you know, the rest was history, man. And that was like late 85, just before the winter.
Late 85.
Just before.
And you come out in 86.
Word up.
My melody.
You understand how crazy of a year that is to get knowledge.
No
why,
doubt.
Why is that, Sife?
Because the 85% is like the
85.
Like dumb, deaf, and blind.
Right, right. So you becoming 5% 85.
85. And you know what I mean?
Crazy.
It definitely, you know, helped me a lot, man. Before that, you know, not to be on no, you know, I was a little gangster, but, you know, I had gun charges since I was 12. You know, wifey, she was with me since I was 11. She'd tell you, that's my son right there. I had gun charges since I was 12. So to, no, I know I needed something. I needed something to calm me down, man. Just before that, I thought it was Zulu. And shortly after that, luckily, I heard one of the guards building in the hallway.
I
needed something to, you know, slow me down. And, you know,
it saved my life.
It was perfect. Word up, man.
Not. I wasn't in no street shit at all. I was just doing nothing. I was, like, just blind, watching TV, doing nothing.
Right.
And listening to what I liked is I learned it in music form, so it all kind of like made me obviously who I am today.
Yes, sir.
So you know, thank you for helping me in an indirect way.
Well, no doubt,
where do you rank Rakim among the artists who drop 5% lines in music? Not at the top.
Not as high.
Who's the highest?
Brand Nubian's the highest.
Oh, Brand Nubian's the highest.
Brand Nubian was like everything they said. Everything.
Straight. It was straight mathematics.
But Rakim's was so slick.
Right.
It was in there. You had to already have
knowledge yourself.
A little. Okay, you listen to a Rakim song, and then years later you get knowledge, and you listen to it again, and you're like, oh, like,
tell me a line. Tell me a Rakim
line. Like
the
seven MCs.
Okay, I don't know what.
That's the God number. Like, it had to be relevant in some way. You know what I'm saying?
Word up.
So, like, it'd be little. And in the ghetto, there's, like, little slick.
Word up. Like, my thing was, at that time, it wasn't too many, you know, it wasn't nobody doing it at the time. And with respect for the culture, I wanted to make sure that I was doing it where people didn't feel I was trying to rob the culture. So I would never quote a degree word for word. I would only speak on understanding that I had and that found its way to the paper. You know what I mean? And
crazy.
Word up.
Over the years, there's been some things said about the relationship between you and Kane.
Yeah.
You know? You guys are sort of one and one A. Yeah.
Eric B's brother was his road manager, right? So there was always
there was a connection, and you were the number one guy. Kane was clearly right there.
Kane is
right there.
Yes, sir.
Let's start with what the relationship used to be like. Did you have a relationship with Kane in those days?
we met each other a couple times. I remember we met at this I think it was a Def Jam party, and I think him and Biz joint that just came out.
Just Rhyme with Biz.
Yeah. And
arguably the most sampled rap song in history.
Yeah. Definitely by Pete Rock.
Certainly by Pete Rock, who's here today.
He probably bought Kane a house.
He used it on your records, I think, too. A song begins. Yeah.
World up, man.
He might be on there.
And we met at a Def Jam party, you know what I mean? Kicked it a little bit, said what's up. And then after that, you know, we might see each other for a quick minute, but we ain't, you know, really speak much. And you know, then the silly shit started happening where, you know, I thought Kane was popping off, and then and I guess people was telling him I was popping off too.
You know how them Brooklyn niggas do.
That's what they would say. That's what they would say.
Word up. So I went and recorded Let the Rhythm Hit Him, and I think at the end of the first verse I said something to Kane, and I remember sitting at the crib. And Eric B, brother, and which is very sick right now too, man. I want to send him some love. He out in Vegas in the hospital, man. Hope you get better, my brother, if you listening, man. But Ant Live called me up. He was like, "Yo, Rob, man, Kane want to talk to you." I was like, "Yo, Ant, don't put him up." Kane's like, "Yo, Rob, just want to, you know, holler, man." But you know, we kicked it for a minute. He was like, "Rob, listen, man. Ant just played me the record." And he said, you know, I want to let you know, it ain't no beef. You know, people be trying to gas the situation and things like that. But he was like, you know, it ain't no beef, bing, bing, bing. So I went back and took his name, you know, and everything off the joint. But, you know, coming up, you know, again, man, I try to be humble as possible. But Kane, you know, was one of the MCs that was a problem.
Because he was that good.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
And, was it all rap? It was just
straight rap.
Yeah.
Rap.
Y'all both being too good at the same time.
World is born. And you know what I mean?
It was being, so different,
being young
though.
And yeah.
So different.
So
that
different.
Too. World up. So, you know, being young and cocky, you know, I used to kind of look at him, you know, out the side eye a little bit. You know what I mean? But you know, recently, man, like, you know,
y'all must have done a million shows at this point.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And you know, like you know, a couple years ago, man, we sat down, man, and you know, I got the utmost respect for Kane, man, and you know, we kick it now on a mature level, man. Just like EPMD, you know, when I see them now, you know, I got the utmost respect for
them. Was it at some point not good with EPMD?
And back then, it wasn't really good with too much of nobody, man.
Really?
It wasn't a problem. It was just testosterone, man. You know what I mean?
A lot of that.
Just being young and just...
Were you... I mean, I don't know how to... You weren't very social, like, you didn't really hang out much, right? Like,
I tried to stay, you know, clear of a lot of industry things.
Because he wasn't part of no... Like, you could have easily been in the Juice crew through the Eric B. Marley connection.
Exactly.
But you weren't down with any crew. You were just Eric B. and Rakim, and really... Eric B. seemed like he was down with all them people, so it was really just Rakim.
Right. You were kind of on your own.
World up.
And do you think that was part of it? People thought you wanted to be on an island? Did people think you thought you were better than them?
I hope not, man, because it wasn't really about that. It was more like me just trying to, like, stay normal and keep my sanity, you know what I mean? Like,
makes sense.
Yeah, I never wanted to appear better than nobody, you know what I mean? Again, if anything, it was just, you know, young, egotistical MC, you know what I mean? Knowing that, you know, I was kind of doing my thing. But, you know, and even more than that, I think that was hip-hop then, man. It was, you know, chess out, you know. It wasn't as friendly as far as a lot of groups, you know, collabing. Yeah, that kind of came after that era. Yeah.
Why no? Were you asked to be on...
Self-destruction.
Wow, y'all been doing a little homework.
We do this a little bit.
We've been doing this.
See what else you got?
No, we don't have this.
That's all here. That's all here. That's all here.
Yeah, because
I can't. We don't write any of this down. This is just shit we want to know.
But that's a good question, man. Because I felt the way. I ain't gonna front. I felt the way.
Well, you weren't asked.
Yeah, you know what I mean. And I felt
you.
No, no, no. Well, the Kane story is that Kane wasn't in it, but that he showed up to the video, but he wasn't on the song.
Right.
Yeah.
I'd never heard about whether or not. How did that happen?
I think Eric mentioned it in something.
Well, did you ever ask? Like, well, nah, like, or talk to KRS about it? Or
it's called D-Nice.
Nah. I kind of just, I had to let it go. You know, I wasn't on no like, yo, you know, y'all supposed to call me or whatever. You know, I just, you know, I definitely felt the way, man. But, you know, that was KRS record. And, you know, that was another MC back in the day, you know, like Kane.
Yeah, he's on there. He's
you know
up
what
there.
I mean? It wasn't no disrespect back then, but I could tell that it was a little tension, like, between me, Kane, me, KRS, and, you know, a couple cats. Just because
G-Rap?
We was, now, me and G-Rap, I took G-Rap on tour with me early in the game. That's my little brother. You know what I mean? Like, I never felt nothing from him. You know what I mean? Like,
because it's always, the talk is always Kane, yeah, KRS, G-Rap, Rakim. Like, that's the...
Those are the core
that's
four.
That's that era that changed everything.
The way people rap, yeah.
Mm,
there's no...
Big up G-Rap, too.
There's no Big Pun, and there's no Eminem without G-Rap. I mean, that's sort of the way that...
Yeah.
Did you ever meet Pun?
Yeah, no doubt. I met Pun at Apollo, man. And it was crazy. That's the first day I met DMX, too. And we all met at the same time. And I just remember telling both of them, like, yo, man, I got mad respect for y'all. Keep rocking. And, you know, hopefully we can get at it in the future, man. Hold up.
I got to ask you, this has got to be crazy. You got to be around, I'm not going to ask your exact age, but you got to be around 50, right?
Not yet. Not yet.
Hip-hop age is slow. You're still not 50.
Not yet, man.
God damn.
40-something. I'm in the high 40s, though, baby.
47 not bad, yo.
All right, so here's the thing. You're in the high 40s.
Not bad.
You're in the high 40s.
I'm real close to that, man.
So you're in the high 40s.
Yeah.
You started popping when you were 17, 18 years old. You've been thought of as like the best in the game since your mid-20s.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to ask this in a way you can answer, but like, you've been thought of as like a sort of godlike character more than you were ever thought of as a regular person.
That's
fucking weird. You're a regular dude, right? Like, you got a wife. You go to the bathroom. You're a regular guy.
Real regular, man.
But people like us who are pretty accomplished in our own ways freak out when we meet you.
Yo, man, it's a blessing, man.
How do you compartmentalize it, though, to stay normal so you don't get gassed? Because you've never... Rakim, since the second I met you, when I first got up here, you've been... nothing but kind and regular every time. You knew my name after a couple of years. You've always been a really regular guy.
Man, when y'all was popping off with that real shit, man, yo, we was tuning in. And we had hope. We had hope, man. You know what I mean?
We ultimately failed you.
we had hope,
game is still struggling. But how do you compartmentalize it and not become a dickhead? I mean, there are people much less accomplished than you who become dickheads. Oh, yeah. And you've become you're still this regular guy. How do you do that?
I think, you know, moms and pops, you know, brought me up good, man. You know, my pops is my hero. And, you know, my mom, she always, you know, stayed in my face, stayed in my ear. And, you know, I just, you know, appreciated them so much and respected them so much. I always wanted to impress, man. And it just kind of, you know, rubbed off. I had kids at a young age, so I had to.
How many kids do you have, bro?
I got four, man. And, you know, I had two.
How many here tonight?
Two.
Just two of y'all tonight?
That's my youngest son, Jabbar, right there.
Okay, Jabbar. Jabbar, I know you.
My daughter somewhere. Right. And my daughter.
Were your parents around to see? Success? And
my father passed in 88.
Oh, so he just... Yeah, he caught like some of it.
He caught some of it.
Yeah, man.
But he didn't know that you became the greatest of all time.
Yeah, I don't think so.
But he saw that you were big. He saw that you popped off, though.
And, you know, one of my dope memories of chilling with Pops and sharing that moment with him was at Nassau Coliseum. And
of course, he came to the Long Island show.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I mean,
he wasn't going to the Garden. He was not going to the Garden.
Nah, man.
You go to Nassau, though.
That's crazy. Mom and Pop was from Brooklyn, man. So,
okay,
it was never no issue with that. But
okay.
You know what I mean? But, you know, I just remember going up the side, they used to have these little steps on the side of the stage. And I just remember every time I went to the left side, you know, my pops was right there, man. And then, you know, kept looking him in his face. You know, like, you know, am I doing my thing? Is, you know what I mean? Yeah. But, yo, it was a beautiful feeling, man. You know, he passed in 88.
Did it throw you off? He passes right in your prime. How tough was that?
Man. It crushed me, man. I kind of didn't want to do nothing for a long time.
And he must have been relatively young, because you were young in 88. You were in your mid-20s.
No, but he's the youngest of five, remember?
Ah, but you're the youngest of five. So what was your dad, in his late 60s, maybe?
Well, he's 58.
Oh, so he was still young. He was young.
Hold up. And, you know, it crushed me, man. And it's hard to get back on the horse, man. But, like, my pops was so influential in all of us being a part of music. He managed my older brother, Ronnie, until he took off. My older brother played with Mighty Sparrow. Remember Mighty Sparrow back in the day? From there to Orange Crush Band to going on tour with Curtis Blow, and he did so many other things. You know, my pops was influential in that. So knowing that, you know, he liked us being involved in music, you know, after a while, you know, time healed a little bit. And I met this kid named little high right now.
It's all right. It's been a long night.
My man C that did some joints on my album.
Okay.
Lost Professors, people.
Paul C.
Paul C. Excuse me, Paul, man. Paul, man. Excuse me, baby. Respect, baby. But yeah, I met Paul C.
By the way, you see how respectful Rakim is, that he's being that respectful to a man who's been deceased for a very long time. And he still wants to get his name right.
Big respect, man.
Of course, the legend Paul C.
Yeah, man. And it was crazy because I'm good. It was crazy because, you know, I haven't wrote in a while, and I met his girlfriend through somebody that lived in Wine Dance, and she was like, yo, my husband make beats. So I was like, all right, you know, I didn't think it was what I was going to hear. But I was like, all right, well, if you can get them some tracks to me from them, you know, I'll see what's up. Long story short, he sent some tracks out. They was dope. I went to his crib, played me some heat, and then he gave me Ghetto. And that's the first thing I wrote since my past pops.
Oh, Paul C did that beat?
Yeah.
Paul C did that. That was the first thing you did since your pops passed away.
Wrote up. First thing I penned since he passed. And
that's a good one.
Yeah, it you know, I kind of, again, man, knowing that he would have wanted me to do my thing. And I felt that the song was right. It had that feel on it. And, you know, that's why I threw it. I'm glad I listened when my father was rapping to me, joining in, man. But, yeah, man, I was my hero, man.
Do you feel the need to put out more albums? Do you want to add to what you've done? I mean, I want to say this right now while I have you here. The 18th Letter is, in my opinion, one of the most slept-on rap albums in history.
Thank you.
You know, I know it ended up, I think it went platinum eventually.
Yeah.
But it was...
It crept along.
Right? It crept along.
Yeah, yes, sir.
But I remember at the time there were people who were disappointed. And for me, it's just such a thorough album. It's different. Oh, there you go, Syf. Playing off the iPhone.
Original sample.
Wait,
24 karat black.
So I thought 18th Letter was a beautiful piece of work.
Thanks.
Book of the next one. What was the next one with
Book of Life.
With When I Be on the Mic on it.
Book of Life.
That was Book of Life. So you but now, and now it's been some time since you've made a record. Do you feel the need to make more, or do you feel like, you know, doing shows and playing the role you play is enough for you in the hip hop game at this point?
Nah, man. You know, for the amount of love that I got for it, I definitely want to make another album.
Maybe Dre's ready.
What up, kid? But after Joyce was
Coco.
Good.
What up, Coco?
No, Joyce.
Joyce with Jazzy? Sorry, I'm drunk. I'm sorry, I've had multiple drinks. Jazzy, Coco, I love them both. Jesus, they're good female DJs. Give me a goddamn break, okay?
There we go. Whoa.
Hi, Jazzy.
But, yeah, man.
Oh, so you think you would want to make another album?
Yeah, definitely, man. Like, you know, to this day, man, I mean, you know, I love rhyming. You know, I love writing. you know, until this day, I feel I got a lot more to say. And, yeah, man.
What else?
You know,
can he say?
I know he's had enough.
I got too much love for music, man. So I'm going to sit down. I spoke to a few people, a couple producers, man. And, you know, if it's just for, you know, Rakim fans alone, man, I would love to kind of
end the
legacy off right. You know what I mean?
The way De La did it, another Long Island group.
Of course.
The way De La did it recently, they did like a crowdfunding thing, right? Like a Kickstarter.
Yeah, Kickstarter joint.
And then they got a bigger budget than they've ever gotten from the fans.
And then it did well.
And then it goes directly to the fans and sold after that.
Like, and then it sold, and then they were at the White House last night. Shout out to De La Soul. I think that's an amazing, amazing story as well.
Big up, y'all.
Last artist I want to ask you about. I asked you this. I saw you backstage at Rock the Bells, and you already answered this, but I want to ask it on Epstein. You did not write Summertime.
No.
Here it is, a groove, slightly transformed.
But that beat was yours, though, right?
Was the beat yours?
Well, we actually had sample. We used the same sample. We was going to bring it out, but we never got a chance to do it after they did it.
I think I heard Eric tell a story that Eric told him that they had that sample or something. So maybe he was...
It was in his brain.
Yeah, maybe it was on his mind.
Do you know Fresh Prince?
Yeah. We did a lot of shows back in the day.
If I'm talking to Joaquin, I got to call him Fresh Prince. He ain't Will Smith. We going back to Fresh Prince.
All right.
But you have a relationship with Will?
Yeah, we used to do Latin Quarter. Like I met him like early in, what was it, 86, 87, when, Parents Just Don't Understand came out. I remember we did a show at the Latin Quarter together.
Did you think it was good? Like, did you? Because Parents Just Don't Understand was a straight up pop record.
Yeah,
I mean, it was,
what I mean? Like, you know, I love Will Smith, man. But yeah, you know, we thought that was like, you know.
It was what it was. You thought it was what it was.
Yeah.
I heard he was super cool, though.
Oh, no doubt, man. So, and Jazzy Jeff, man, to this day.
The greatest DJ of all time, in my opinion.
Man. Like, most. And, you know, to this day, man, you know, I got nothing but respect for Jeff. And for what Will did and managed to do with his career and, you know, take it to the next level. I'm not going to front. When I look at Fresh Prince and when I see Will on screen, I think hip hop.
Of course.
Yes, because absolutely.
It was.
You know 100%. What I mean? That's where he came from, and it feel good that
and
somebody.
And he was 100% authentic, and he meant what he was doing. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He was definitely like.
To this day, whenever I see him in a movie, I think hip hop.
Yeah.
So
I agree.
World up. Keep doing
Did you ever ghostwrite for anyone that we might not think of?
Nah, man. I was too,
never ghostwrite.
Man, I was too stingy with
selfish,
it. Man.
Selfish with the wrong.
Yeah, man. Like,
don't get them Rakim bars.
World is bone. I remember, you know. Back in the day when E came to me, he was like, Ron, somebody, I was like.
Right there, bars.
Man. Like, nah, man, I don't do that, bro. Like, nah, man, this is me right here. I don't even know what I'm going to say on my next rhyme, man. to write it for somebody else, nah, man. But if I would have known what I know now, just spreading the talent, and I would have did it.
Asif, you have
something
else?
To write the whole rhyme for somebody, but collaborating with somebody would have been cool. Like, I don't know. You weren't even really ever. You didn't have like a lot of features or weren't a feature on stuff.
Jody Watley.
Yeah, Jody Watley.
Yeah, I had to do that.
The
truth, to
truth
that.
Hurts.
Yeah.
Rakim. What the fuck, bro? Hold on. We're sitting here. This is by the time I grow up on Rakim.
Okay.
And then here we are in 2000, whatever, two, whatever it is. I'm on the radio now as like a young adult on the radio. And you get a smash with Truth Hurts Addictive. It seems so random. How did that happen? That was your last hit, right?
Yeah.
Your last true hit. How did that happen? Good call, Cypher Sam.
Dre,
right?
He was doing her album. And actually, the writers was in there writing. She wasn't even there that day. The writers was in there writing, and I walked in. I was like, yo, what's that? I heard the Arab music. I'm like, yo, what's that, Dre? He was like, yo, that's such and such. I'm like, yo, man, Save Me 16 on it. He was like, that's an R&B joint. I said, Save Me 16 on it.
Yeah, you heard what I said.
You heard what I said. I'm Rakim
Allah. That, man. And sure enough, they finished the joint. She went and laid it down, and I went to the studio one day. Dre played it. I was like, yeah, that's hot. And he was like, you going to do it? I'm like, hell yeah, what's good? He was like, all right, you got 16. Went home that night, blew it out, came back the next day. And, you know, it was a good piece of, little chemistry we had, man.
That was, I was, you have no idea how happy I was to be on the radio and playing a Rakim record.
Right, yeah,
a,
yeah.
Yo, are you,
Scooby-Doo.
Scooby-Doo? You fuck with any Drake records?
Drake? Yeah, man. Listen, man.
Yeah, but that left field. Yeah.
Left, but I got to add, it's an interesting, hold on, let's be clear. Drake is hands down the biggest rapper in hip-hop. There's no question.
Yes.
And Rakim's the greatest of all time. So I'm curious of what your thoughts are on Drake's music.
Yeah, man, like, you know, at the end of the day, you can't front, man. Drake makes good music. He, you know, he sticks to his brand. He know what he wants to do. And you know, me being, as far as hip-hop, I like a little bit of the, you know, the melodic, I don't know. But
you like joints for the ladies, let's be clear. Oh, no doubt, Rakim was down to make a joint for the ladies.
No doubt. But saying, like, you know, like, man, and, you know, I love Fame and dance.
Of
like,
course.
I love that kind of hip-hop. But you can't front, man. If you drive it and a Drake song come on, you know, when you first hear it, you might not love it. But after a while, it's like, yo, can't front, man. Like, yo, keep doing your thing, man, and you know, making good records, man. And what we got to do, we just got to make sure we know how to, you know, label it, man. I think that's the problem right now, man.
Everyone labeling everything the same.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Like Lil Yachty's getting labeled the same thing as Kendrick. Right. When Lil Yachty's great and Kendrick's great, yeah, but they're great in different ways.
Exactly, in rock, man. There's so many subgenres, but hip hop is just hip hop.
It's rap.
Yeah,
it's rap.
Yeah.
You know, I know. I find that to be a problem, too.
And I think people wouldn't have much, you know, as a problem with certain things, that I think, if we labeled it right, man. So, you know, maybe, you know, it's going to take somebody like yourselves, man, to kind of set up the...
what that genre is.
You know what I mean? Or just, you know, bring that awareness to the table that we have to get a little order in the game now. We grew a lot since, you know, 70, you know, 69, 71, 72. Like, hip-hop's grown, you know, so much since then. I think we just need a little, you know, some superior cats that can oversee the situation. And we got to start shaping this thing into, you know, what it's supposed to be, man. But it's not gonna happen unless, you know, it has to be somebody that's well respected in, you know, the hip hop game. You cats been holding the torch.
Wow, that is very kind. If I find that person, I'm gonna tell you, because it can't be me who you're talking about.
End it right there.
You know what I mean?
End it right now.
I'm gonna end it right now.
Coming from y'all, you know. I mean, people listen, man, and y'all been again holding the torch that people know if y'all say
Rakim,
something.
Rakim, I want to say something very clearly.
Yes, sir.
Looking you in the eye.
No doubt.
If tomorrow I interviewed Barack Obama, it would be tied for the greatest day of my life.
Wow.
Okay? No, I'm being dead ass. We've interviewed Hove. We've interviewed Eminem.
Wow.
I've sat next to the greatest athletes of this means the world to us.
Thanks,
we have been
real talk,
you are.
I appreciate that.
I can't describe what you mean to our. No matter what happens with my career, if one day you see me hosting the Tonight Show on NBC, I want you to know that I will still hold this moment as the greatest moment for me.
Yo, thanks,
to sit and talk to you about our culture.
Thanks, Pete. World up, man. I mean,
the fact that you know my name is the greatest thing in my career.
I'll be like, yo, Pete Rose, what up? Yo, man?
That's the greatest. That is the greatest
Rose,
thing in my career.
Yo, his daughter. Last show we did, the last Bazzi ceremony in Jersey, his daughter was like, "Yeah, my dad's a fan of you." I was like, what do you mean? What do you mean? Like, how?
It doesn't even make sense to us, Rob.
Yeah, man,
like,
listen, man, like, you know, again, man, being a fan, man, and, you know, we got radio personalities, man, and y'all authentic. Y'all been real with it. Y'all well-respected with it. And, I mean, and the way y'all do your thing, y'all right here capturing everything, man, we got much respect for
it. Well, we just care about it.
The way y'all do it and present it and give it to the world.
The reason we started this podcast was to try to document moments like this, the dream was always you. Don't worry, we're not going to retire. Even though we finally got you, we're not going to quit tomorrow.
Yeah,
but we could.
Yo, thanks for that love. Word up.
Rakim Allah, thank you more so much.
Likewise, man. Thanks for the welcome, Matt. Y'all keep doing what you're doing.
And Cypher Sounds, I want to say something to you, too.
Pete Rose, one love, baby.
Thank you.
Cypher.
Yo, I need this.
Yes, sir.
And Cypher, I want to say something to you. So I want to say something to you also.
Well,
go fuck yourself.
What? Me?
All right. Good night.